This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Going back to the trough.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. This country's major investment banks are being kept alive by foreign investors. The mortgage crisis forced firms like Citigroup and Merrill Lynch to go overseas, cap in hand. Sovereign wealth funds from Abu Dhabi and Singapore have already invested billions. More could be on the way. This morning, the Wall Street Journal reports Citigroup is working to get another $10 billion, and Merrill an additional $3 to $4 billion, all from foreign governments. In the meantime, many big banks are in the midst of rebranding themselves. Maybe you've seen one of the new ad campaigns. Bank of America is the bank of opportunity. Citigroup says, let's get it done. And starting this weekend, J.P. Morgan Chase will ask you to chase what matters. Steve Tripoli looks at what's behind these makeovers.
Branding expert Glenn Rifkin says banks are rolling out these ads more to hold customers than add them.
There's a certain amount of fear of losing market share and having customers feel that in uncertain economic times, maybe it's time to rethink where they have their money. And this is a way to say, stick with us because we can show you why we're better than the bank down the street.
But Rifkin, who co-wrote the book Radical Marketing, says he's not sure branding campaigns set banks apart from competitors.
From a position of a brand, I have yet to see any of these banking brands stand out in a way that I think the average consumer would view them.
He says that's because what really draws customers to banks are interest rates, local ATMs, and customer service. So when a bank like J.P. Morgan Chase lays out $70 million for branding, Rifkin says ad watchers often ask, why not just sink that money directly into what customers want? I'm Steve Tripoli from Marketplace.
On Wall Street yesterday, strong earnings from DuPont gave investors a reason to buy. The Dow finished up 146 to 12,735. The S&P gained nearly 19. The Nasdaq jumped 34 points. Overnight, most stock markets in Asia finished lower. In Europe at this hour, stocks are little changed. Next week, Harrah's Entertainment will spin the roulette wheel. The world's largest casino brand needs a $9 billion loan. It'll be the first company in 2008 to bet the frozen credit markets are beginning to thaw. Jill Barchet reports.
Two private equity firms are trying to complete their $18 billion buyout of Harrah's. Chris Donnelly is a vice president at Standard & Poor's LCD. He says Harrah's needs to borrow heavily.
Everyone's watching this deal because it's one of the largest transactions that's going to come to market this year.
Donnelly says casinos are cash cows. Usually investors line up to buy their debt. But now the credit markets are so sick that the usual buyers aren't even coming to the table. Donnelly says Harrah's will have to offer high interest payments and fat fees to get the deal done.
So if this can't get done, then everyone's really going to be worried.
Donnelly says if investors don't buy this casino debt, it will be hard for anyone to acquire any company through a leveraged buyout this year. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Today in India, it's the opening of the New Delhi Auto Expo. And the big buzz is about the Nano. It's the new car from Tata Motors unveiled this morning. The least expensive car in the world. $2,200 is the price tag. Let's bring in Mehul Srivastava. He is a reporter for the Indian business paper Mint. Mehul, what was it like when Tata introduced the Nano?
Oh, it's been quite intense. Almost every television channel in the country was covering this. But there were about 2,000 people who just walked in off the streets to come take a look at it. And when the car was unveiled, the reaction was quite positive. I ran into people who were asking if they could buy it right away. I ran into a lot of young women saying they can't wait to buy it. So it's a pretty positive reaction. It's not a bucket of bolts. This is a good-looking car that just happens to cost much less.
Can you describe what this car looks like?
Well, nobody was allowed inside the car today. So pretty much the best you could do is push your way through the crowds and squeeze your face against the glass. But it's a four-seater, four-door car that looks a little bit like a smart car, if you'd imagine, in Europe. It is a really small engine in the back and kind of some parts broken up in the front, so it doesn't have much space for luggage. The car is about 35 to 40 horsepower. It may hit 50 miles per hour in city traffic, and nobody's going to take it out on the highway because it's not designed for that.
So the question now, Mehul, becomes whether Tata will become a player in other emerging markets for middle-class consumers that want to buy a vehicle.
Well, they have every intention of making that a reality. They talked quite briefly, but with a lot of purpose about the possibility of expanding production in India to the point where they can export at least to Latin America and to parts in Africa. They want this to be a global phenomenon and one that they intend to ride all the way.
Mehul Srivastava is a reporter for the newspaper Mint in New Delhi. Mehul, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Measuring economic growth usually means looking at the total output of goods and services. Well, the president of France wants to include something new in the calculation. Here's Megan Williams.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy isn't happy with how the French economy is doing, despite urging the French to love less and work more. Growth is down. So he's enlisted two Nobel-winning economists to revamp how economic success is measured, to include a happiness factor. Belgium economist Paul de Grawe says for several decades, France and Europe's per capita GDP has been lagging behind the U.S. by about 30%. That prompted researchers to ask, are Americans, as a result, happier than Europeans?
The happiness people have tried to measure all this and came to the conclusion, no, there is no evidence that the average American is happier than the average European.
While counting happiness is important, says de Grawe, he warns it can be a way out for politicians.
Sometimes it can also be abused to hide failures of economic policy. Maybe that's also part of the story.
As France's economy drags, Sarkozy himself is on cloud nine with his new girlfriend, model Carla Bruni. And France, it seems, isn't happy about that. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.